Welcome to the Link Together podcast, a place where we unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our daily lives. I'm your host, Bob Hegdahl, pastor for Mission and Outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as a development pastor for our campus in Lapeer, Michigan. Each episode offers perspectives of different pathways of living out our faith through our daily lives, featuring Talk to the Hand, an interview segment with someone from one of the campuses of Calvary, the communities we serve, and beyond. Special thanks goes out to Kelly Rinaldi for her tireless assistance with public relations, and Keith Van Gore, the audio answer man, for his invaluable guidance. You both are appreciated. We also appreciate you, our listeners, and are glad that you've joined us for episode number 4. If you will, please like and subscribe to the podcast, which arrives on the first and third Thursdays of each month. It is now time for our spiritual snack. The spiritual snack word for this episode is balance. Balance is one of those words that can take on several different meanings, depending on how it's used. Checkbooks, if you use such a thing, need to be in balance so that you know exactly how much money you have on hand at any given time. The tires on your vehicle need to be in balance for a smooth ride, reducing wear and tear on your tires. When I return from the grocery store, I always challenge myself to bring all the groceries into the house in one trip. That requires a tremendous amount of balance. When it comes to living into our faith and connecting it into our daily lives, the area of focus and the quest for balance are essential. They are mind, body, and spirit. When we focus on keeping our bodies in balance, it usually involves doing some sort of movement, exercise, or making good choices regarding the foods that we consume. As someone who spends time eating healthy and unhealthily, I can tell you that I'm in a much better body balance when I eat healthy and exercise on a regular basis. It does not eliminate those occasions where I slip, but the knowledge of knowing the steps I can take to help my physical body feel better is a great step in finding body balance. When we focus on our spiritual balance, connecting our spirits through prayer, participation in worship, and serving others, these all can help us achieve spiritual balance. During the pandemic, while it may have been more difficult to maintain spiritual balance, Calvary has maintained the church that has never closed, offering online worship experiences as well as in person when the timing was right. We also have been able to continue to be God's hands and feet in the world through various mission and outreach engagements in order to help to maintain our spiritual balance. I believe that the most difficult challenge for many people is keeping balance when it comes to our mind or our mental health. The Gospel of John reminds us with words from Jesus, who says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Even with Jesus on our side cheering for us, there are many reasons why this might be the most difficult area of our lives in which to achieve balance. Achieving balance in our mental health is tricky because each of us is so unique. Addressing mental health issues are not a one-size-fits-all situation. Mental health concerns are also, at least in my opinion, the most difficult balance struggles to share with others. For far too long, acknowledging struggle with balance regarding our mental health has been something people feel compelled to keep to themselves, wary of becoming stigmatized by others for the things that we struggle with. This is especially true for men, who have for generations been conditioned not to share any mental health struggles they may be having. The world has often been a difficult place to come as you really are and to feel like you really matter, but that is changing. Creating safe spaces for people to struggle with and get support in order to maintain balance in their mental health is long overdue. Things, however, are slowly changing. It's becoming more acceptable to share one's mental health struggles out in the open, to seek out assistance in order to maintain balance that at one time was something almost no one felt comfortable doing. Back to Scripture, specifically the book of Psalms, for the reminder that the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. As followers of Jesus, the church as a whole hasn't always been great at providing that safe space to support mental health balance, but it is getting better. At Calvary, we are being proactive and getting better, creating safe spaces for people to share their mental health struggles. The Living in Finite Experience, or LIFE ministry, promotes mental health awareness throughout our community. There are LIFE ministry monthly virtual meetings where we schedule and plan opportunities for awareness, prevention, and support. You will also see that some of our other opportunities offered at Calvary are in fact LIFE ministry centered events as well. Please contact this episode's Talk to the Hand guest interview, Pastor Kate Zwicky, to see how you can engage with LIFE ministry and all that they are doing to create safe spaces to talk about mental health, to stay in balance. There's also a small group that's meeting called Peace in the Storm. This is a hybrid group that meets both in person and virtually via Zoom. The group considers how to more deeply look for, look through, and look within for God's presence as we journey with both life and storms. Later this month, on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m., rain or shine, Calvary will be hosting the Mom Run, Mom, Mind Over Matter. You can help save lives and erase the stigma, either run or walk in the Mom Race for Mental Health Awareness and Suicide Prevention. The U.S. suicide rates are at a 50-year high and continue to climb. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America, claiming 48,344 lives in 2018 alone. The Center for Disease Control lists suicides as the second leading cause of death for older teens. While there's still more we need to understand, one thing is for sure: suicide is becoming harder and harder to ignore. And contrary to popular belief, suicide rates are the highest in the spring, even without the stress of a global pandemic. In a sea of canceled events, at a time we need it most, the 2021 Mom or Mind Over Matter race is still on, just with a COVID-19 social distancing twist. As I said, on May 22nd at 10 a.m., Calvary's LIFE ministry team will be joining the virtual Mom Race for Mental Health Awareness and Suicide Prevention. Registration is not required. This race replaces the 5K run-walk that was previously scheduled for Saturday, May 1st in Royal Oak. Calvary's LIFE ministry team has marked out a couple of routes. One is 1.5 miles and the other 3.7 for our local version of the Mom Race, each beginning and ending at Calvary Lutheran Church's Clarkston campus. Measures are being put into place to maintain appropriate physical distancing that will be observed throughout the race while enjoying the beautiful landscape that Calvary and Clarkston have to offer in the springtime. If you would like to join us, but aren't in a place right now to join in person, please consider walking in your neighborhood or local trail or park as well. That's the blessing of this time: better together, in person or miles away. Please consider honoring a loved one lost to suicide or paying tribute to someone who names mental health as an area of emphasis or struggle. Know that even if you wait to decide until Saturday morning, join us and take this opportunity to work out some of your coronavirus worries, revitalize your spirit, and nourish your soul. Registration is not required. These might be challenging times, but we're all in this together. You matter. You are not alone. Jesus is calling us to make a difference. Mind your health, heal your mind, help others, and support the MOM mission. At Calvary, we continue to provide opportunities to help maintain balance with our minds, bodies, and spirits. Just like the God that loves us so much and hopes only the best for us, so does the family of Calvary. Because you matter. Your mental, physical, and spiritual health and its well-being matters. Keeping it in balance matters. Remember, you are not alone. You are loved and cherished by God. Your church community wants to be a resource for you. It wants you to feel well, heard, and safe, whether celebrating life's joys, when you're feeling out of control, and even if you're somewhere in between. We are a community of faith that supports, celebrates, and leans on one another, and we do it most effectively when we realize that we can do all things better together. I will end this segment of Spiritual Snack, which has focused on the word balance, as a reminder to all of our listeners from the book of 3 John. Dear friend, I hope that all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. This day and always, I hope and pray that you find balance in your life. The Link Together, Connecting Faith and Daily Life podcast is a ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church with campuses in Clarkston, White Lake, Pontiac, Lapeer, Pinckney, and beyond. Calvary Lutheran Church is here because you matter. At Calvary, people are invited to come as they really are and to become all that God has made them to be. We believe that we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to others, and our mission is ultimately to know Christ and to make Christ known. To find out more about Calvary Lutheran Church and all of the vibrant ministries, check out our website, calvaryinfo.org, or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship experiences, either in person or online. So, Pastor Kate, welcome to the Link Together podcast. We're glad that you agreed to be our interview for today for Talk to the Hand.
Thanks. I really appreciate and value being here.
So one of the things that we like to do at the beginning of each of these is we like to ask the interview, would you share a little bit about, a little glimpse into your story of how you became a person of faith, or how you came to be a person of faith?
Sure. For those that know me, story is very much a part of what I love. So my faith story is that I haven't ever been a part of a family or environment where Jesus wasn't a part of my life. I was brought up in a Lutheran home. So I like to describe my story that it's kind of been a journey of faith with growth spurts. So I was brought up in a home where, you know, faith was a part of our family dynamic, and it was really more of a ritual type thing than a personal type thing. And so then I met my husband, and he had a very personal faith, so that was a time of growth spurt. And so I've kind of had growth spurts throughout my faith journey. And that's a part of my story and my faith journey, is that I kind of went off into college and had people ask me questions about, well, when did I come to know Jesus? And it's like, well, I've always known Jesus. And I couldn't point out a date where, you know, I accepted him into my heart or whatnot. And so I needed to kind of do my own journey and my own understanding and my own claiming of, I've always been a person of faith, and God has blessed me with that, because I think it is a blessing, and that to learn how to talk about growth spurts that we then have in our faith. And that's a very much a big part of my story when I share it with others.
Okay, thank you. So in what specific ways do you see your faith affect the way that you live your daily life? It could be as a pastor or in your home life, when you interact with friends or with family. How do you see your faith affect the way that you live your daily life?
Yeah, well, I think you could agree with me that being a pastor at least makes it kind of easy, and sometimes we can use it as an excuse, like, you know, it's 24/7 of faith, but still needing to be intentional. And I came to be a pastor later in life. This is like my third or fourth career, and been a pastor for just 4 years now. So I guess you know, prior to that point. It just was surrounding myself with people of faith, you know, raising children and bringing them up in faith, and then getting into volunteering work and then working part-time at the church. So I think God knows that, you know, I just kind of need to be immersed in the things that I'm focused on, so that makes it easy for me. So I guess I try to live my faith just very publicly, and more so from the lens of I never stop being a person of faith. So anything that I do, you know, I love the scripture that says pray without ceasing. So, you know, my prayers look maybe different than other people's. Just thinking about something to me is a prayer. When I see a bird, that's a prayer. You know, it's when I'm being alert and aware. And just listening for the Holy Spirit in regards to the moment of interacting with people. Last week, or this week actually, I was looking to go and get some cookies to share with my small group leaders, and not realizing that it was closed, but ran into a young mom and her son who were looking to get in too. And could have seen that as a great disappointment, but I saw it and gave a prayer of thanksgiving that I could have called ahead, but I didn't. But I was able to be there for that mom, young mom with just a little guy, and point her in a different direction so that he wasn't super disappointed because he couldn't get a cookie. So, you know, just being open and aware to those kind of moments, and in giving God the praise and the glory, and being open to be able and willing to share my faith when those opportunities come up.
Yeah, I like to call those, you know, holy moments, those moments that are sort of unexpected, and then they're right there in front of you, and then you have an opportunity, and it's not what you expected, but it's the situation that you're in, and then you just respond accordingly. So you had mentioned that, you know, part of your faith journey was that you surrounded yourself with people of faith, and I'm wondering if you could share with our listeners, who's a few of those people who really impacted your faith walk, people who modeled living their faith through how they lived their lives, and what parts of what you witnessed from them became part of how you today live out your life of faith?
So my family was the first and foremost, and just that how important a strong foundation is, and that, you know, now as a pastor getting to do, you know, youth programming with youth and confirmation, you know, a lot of times it seems boring and not really relevant, but as I've gotten older, realizing how much that contact, that exposure, that routine was important as I got older, and that it was really there when I needed it. And so that would be my first, you know, forming that foundation through my upbringing. And then meeting my husband, as I said before, he definitely walked a very personal journey of faith, and was very open about it. One of the first questions he asked me was, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And we were 17, and that's a really strange question for a 17-year-old to ask, and for a 17-year-old girl to be like, this boy is interesting. But it was a question that I needed, and God truly turned that into a holy moment. It was an academic camp, and so his very open witness of this is who I am, take it or leave it, whether that's music or his faith, his faith in particular, I needed that in that moment, and it changed my life. It changed my life. And he introduced me to a family, you know, then that walked a different faith, walked a different way, and just to do that dance together over these many years has been a blessing. And then I would say someone who's been a quieter model of faith but impacted my life in a traumatic way was my father-in-law, who was someone who came to faith later in his life, who did it very quietly, not very publicly, but impacted a lot of people's lives. He died from a construction fall accident in 2005. And I like to share my story that I kind of always saw myself as a negative person, that, you know, the glass was half full. And when he fell and he was in the hospital for the brief 12 hours before he left us, just being bedside with him and the doctors telling us of the things that we could look for, in being hopeful that, you know, he might live but have a much changed life. When he was passing, I was the only person in the room with him at that point, and the numbers that we were watching changed, and the first response of my heart was that it's a miracle. And you know, then right after that, my mind caught up that this other thing was happening, and he did leave us and went home to Jesus. But as I retold that story, I came and I listened to God, and God said to me that my first heart response was hope. And that has now become my beacon. And what I like to share with people is that my first response is hope. And I may be convinced otherwise that, yes, I do think of things that can go wrong and we need to cover those. But my first response is always that God is in this, and God was in it, even though he took him home. And God used that and helped change my person and my view of who I was and how God could use me so that I could hopefully bring that hope to other people. And then he started doing breadcrumbs, and here I am as a pastor. And that is my heart message to people, is how can I help you find the hope that is here? Because I believe that God, other than peace, also has given us abundant hope in this life and the next. So,
awesome. Thank you. How that really changes you when you change the lenses of how you view the world, the worldview. And when you start from a place of hope, it's very different than starting from a place of you know, negativity or. So yeah, thank you. So you're a pastor, and you know, you think about this stuff a lot. But I'm wondering, and I'm actually pretty curious, what areas of your life do you wish reflected more of your faith or the person that you are to those who you encounter? Would you like people to see more that they don't?
Just that I am a person of faith. I mean, I think it's still, I identify as an introvert for sure. And so there are definitely moments when I would rather hide. And so when I'm feeling bold or when I would really rather hide, it's pretty convenient as a pastor to be able to throw a collar on, because it's kind of this, you know, it's an unspoken invitation for conversation or invitation to assault is what I found, especially being a female pastor. You know, in this day and age, to still have people say to me, well, are you a priest? Or I didn't think women could be pastors. You know, that's getting outside of my comfort zone. So I wear my collar a lot, even though we as a, you know, church, Calvary in particular, are come as you are. I do that just because it gets me out of my comfort zone. Because yes, I do surround myself with people of faith, but when I get out in public, it can be really easy to hide. And so to have that aspect and, you know, be able to, so I'll put things on my person, you know, a necklace, and not necessarily a cross, because I find a lot of people have already made negative associations with that. So just other kind of necklace to me represents my faith, or I've got tattoos on each of my arms. Just having those public things that I can't hide are helpful to me, because it's still very easy for me to hide behind being an introvert and also somebody that struggles with anxiety and depression. So
that's really courageous, and probably has helped immensely when you look at your life through the lens of hope, mm-hmm. That you're hopeful that even though you might challenge yourself, and that's courageous, that you're willing to, you know, take on whatever comes your way. That's really admirable. So if there's going to be some other people who sit in this chair, but I'm just curious your perspective about, you know, what advice would you give to somebody out there who might be listening, who wants to live their faith through their life, but they're just not really sure where to begin? What advice would you give to them?
I guess my advice would be to go to a person that feels safe in someone that has inspired you. Odds are, if there's someone that consistently shows up in your life in a way that is supportive and whatnot, but they haven't shared that they're necessarily a person of faith, I would put money on the fact that more often than not that they are a person of faith, and are praying to have an opportunity to share that with you. So really going to those safe people, those safe environments, and there's so many different ways to do that nowadays. Podcasts, reaching out to authors that inspire us. You know, I've always stumbled across authors and not really realized that they were people of faith, and then found out afterwards and was kind of awestruck by that. That I really think my philosophy in life is that God is active in the world and just waiting for us to pay attention. So perhaps that thing, that song, that group, that book that calls your attention, start there. Or start with people who also find those common connections. Like, for instance, the band U2. I'm not really a huge Christian music fan, which may turn a lot of people off, but I grew up listening to the band U2 and really identifying with their music, but not necessarily identifying it with Christian music, but then going back and seeing and taking that lens of hope to a lot of their lyrics. And now Bono is very forward and outspoken about his faith and how that shows up in his music. So really, yeah, finding those points where you're called to pay attention and you just can't resist it, and to take that step of faith and that leap of faith to reach out and say, you know, I'm hearing this as this. Does that do that for you too? And just to start that conversation so somebody can share that story.
Great, thank you. So you have an event coming up at Calvary. It's called the Mom Race, and I wonder if you would tell our listeners about it, tell them, you know, when it is, and if they'd like to register, how they could do that, and, you know, just give a little background about the Mom Race that's coming up in just a few weeks.
Sure, and I'm very thankful for that. The Mom Race will be held on May 22nd, starting about 10 a.m., 10 to 1. And MOM stands for Mind Over Matter. And so my journey here at Calvary has been asking God, how do you need me to show up in this community as the person that I am? And I just kept hearing, remember that God says and that I say to you that people are poor in spirit. And often that means that we struggle. And I, as I said before, I'm someone that struggles with anxiety and depression, and I didn't think God could use that. And God has abundantly used that here. Unfortunately, our community suffered the losses of Evan and Josh in 2018, and out of that grew a ministry and stories shared of this walk with mental health and the struggle of suicide loss. And so we started a ministry called the Life Ministry, Living in Finite Experiences, and how the church has really not been an active participant in the affirming that mental health can be a lifelong struggle, and that we do need to talk about it. It does not mean that we don't have faith, that we don't believe. And so one of the ways that we can be a community presence is to participate in things such as the Mom Walk. It's usually held in Royal Oak, Michigan, and was brought to us by one of our very own, Mary Bird. And it's their 16th annual walk, and it is called Mom because they lost their mom, but had it stand for Mind Over Matter, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so this will be our second annual. Last year they had to get creative on how that looked because of the pandemic, and it's still looking that way. And we got a huge response last year. In the early days of the pandemic, we still had over 50 people join us for walking because it was outside and you could do it in pods and groups. And we raised over $500 to donate none to that cause. And we continue to have events as Life Ministry throughout the year in regards to supporting those who've suffered suicide loss. And also just to be a voice, that is a moniker that comes through the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, that we together can be a voice against suicide, to journey, to bring awareness, prevention, and support to those that's their journey. So we just are openly inviting people to join us for this walk. It's a race, but if you'd like to walk, you can walk, or even just come and hang out on Saturday, May 22nd from 10 to 1. And you can reach out to me by phone, 248-318-9098, or also email me at kzywicki, that's K-Z-Y-W-I-C-K-I, at calvary-lutheran.org, and I'll make sure you get the link to register. And all we ask is a $10 donation. If you'd like to give more, like I said, then we pass that on to the Mom Foundation to make that happen. Or if you'd like to know more information about our life ministry, Living in Finite Experiences, we're always welcoming new members so that we can be a voice, as I said, against suicide and just bring hope, we hope, to those that struggle and walk with anxiety and depression. Because as a person who does struggle with that, I manage it. It's always with me. I try to eradicate it, and I pray, and I do what I need to do. And I'm trying to be more public and honest about when I'm struggling, because, again, it's something that we would rather hide and not talk about. And I'm thankful today that today is a good day. So,
great. You know, it really is so true. And I'm so glad that you're bringing, you know, focus, especially focus within the church to the issue of mental health. And I just think it's present there. And one of the things I often have to remind myself is that the only shoes you know are the ones that you walk in, and you don't know how someone else is experiencing their day or their month or their life for that matter. And to give a safe place where people can feel free to, you know, be very forthright in how they're feeling and what's going on and what they're struggling with, and know that it's a safe place. I think the church creating a safe place where that can happen is so awing, and I'm so grateful that you're engaging in that here at Calvary. So they'll email you or call you to get the link for the Mom Race, and I hope it's super successful. I'm not a big runner, but I might join you. How far is it?
We have actually two routes, which is through downtown Clarkston. So we have a 1.5 mile route and then a 3 mile route. But I would think either routes, you know, if you've decided I can only do a half mile, if you just walk out a half mile and walk back or do whatever you can. It's really more coming out and seeing that there are other people that are affirming that this is a reality, that this is a part of their family story or history. And just we've had people who didn't walk, and we'll have a few things that we're hoping will be available on site so that you never have to actually leave the property, and you will be considered a participant. So,
fantastic. All right, well, thank you so much for being a guest on the Link Together podcast, and this will come out in the middle of the month, just ahead of your event.
All right.
So thanks again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Current mission and outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. Foster Care Starter Kits Collection. We are joining our partner Samaritas in an effort to support at-risk young adults aged 16 to 21 who are aging out of foster care. We are collecting new items needed to assemble starter kits that are given to the youth as they enter independent living plus homes. The starter kits include twin comforter set including twin sheets, pillowcases, and a blanket in neutral colors, toothpaste and toothbrush, shampoo and conditioner, body wash, deodorant, snacks, and bottled water. Other items include a tabletop mirror, a chalkboard, letterboard, lamp. Please bring the items to Calvary's Clarkston campus, 6805 Bluegrass Drive, on Sundays between the hours of 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. throughout the month of May. We continue our partnership with Lighthouse of Oakland County to distribute boxes with 35 pounds of non-perishable items to our neighbors and local agencies Wednesday mornings at our Clarkston campus. The boxes are distributed between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. to individual families and local organizations that drive through for curbside pickup. If you would like to be a part of this amazing serving opportunity, you can sign up at Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org. The Baldwin Center currently serves over 1,200 to 1,500 sandwiches per week. As part of our ongoing partnership, Calvary has a fresh new way for us to continue this very important and impactful work in the Pontiac area. We began making 200 sandwiches per week and are transitioning to 300 per week. The Baldwin Center reminded us that being part of this ministry being so important is that the sandwich provided might be the only food their clients receive for the day. Serving opportunities are shoppers, sandwich makers, packers, and drivers. Calvary PPE protocols to include facial coverings and social distancing is required. If you are interested, contact Pastor Bob Hegdahl at 313-384-9659 or hunger@calvary-lutheran.org. We are also looking for sponsors to support this new program. Providing 1 week of 300 sandwiches costs a little under $200. To sponsor this effort, please go to the Hunger Initiative on the website. The Handy Ministry. Do you like helping our neighbors with small home repairs and projects? We are looking for people interested in serving as an extension of our partnership with Clarkston Community Church. We are looking for skilled and unskilled labor for small construction and rehab jobs in the Clarkston area. Generally, there are multiple projects occurring at the same time, so all levels of help are welcome. If you are interested, please reach out to Pastor Bob Hegdahl at 313-384-9659 or Russ Milano, 248-505-9522. Well, that completes episode number 4. Keep looking for those faith and daily life connections, and remember that you might be the only Bible that some people may ever read.